So from what I'm hearing, it seems to me that we're putting the cart before the horse, because while these proposed changes from Councilman Sinapi are moving in a positive direction, along with the amendments from Councilman Ricks, what I'm hearing is that we're being asked to vote and approve the purchases of these cameras before the Board of Public Safety receives their policy from the police department, reviews it, and either accepts it or denies it. That's done after we have either approved, well, if we disapprove, then it's not going to matter. But from what I'm understanding, Counselor, you're saying that A, we approve the purchase of the cameras. B, the police department promulgates policy along with whatever suggested changes or amendments are proposed by Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Ricks. They're going to put together their policy. That goes before the Board of Public Safety for approval or denial. Is that right?
I would say that, one, I am not suggesting whichever process. It's up to the council, however you wish to proceed. What is before you this evening, the Finance Committee has submitted its recommendation to the full council to hold the bid to the second meeting in September. That is one independent item that the committee met on previously, and that's subject to whatever the council wishes to do later this evening. But that recommendation is to delay the purchase of the cameras with the stated intention of, from the discussion, was that to not put the cart before the horse, to see what policies, proposals, whether enshrined in ordinance as well as a use policy that's adopted or rejected by the Board of Public Safety, to allow that to play out first. But the question before us here is, what guardrails does the council wish to enshrine in ordinance surrounding the use of the technology, and what processes does the council wish to follow to address any other changes that should arise down the road? The balance that we have is, as far as the structure of government here, is that we don't typically see in our ordinances very comprehensive listing of every use policy by the police department. It tends to stay very high level as to, here's the 1,000-foot vantage point, and the Board of Public Safety with the police department does that additional diligence about, here's the, you know, a comprehensive listing of things that, how it could or would be used or not used. Councilman Sinapi has presented us with, you know, that 1,000-foot level to say, we absolutely want to make sure that these things never occur. And that's the structure of what's presented in the ordinance thus far this evening.
So I understand all that. I'm still viewing it as Councilman Sinapi, along with the amendments, assuming that they're approved by Councilman Ricks, is going to outline certain guidelines and restrictions that this policy will have to include and abide by. Where my concern is once this, assuming is approved, whatever that is approved by the council, now it goes to the police department. The police department will be drafting whatever policies that they feel are necessary to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And these items that we have before us now will be incorporated in that. In addition to any other or additional changes or deletions that the police department wants to make with respect to the policy. So we are not going to see the final policy. That policy, as I understand it, once it's completed by the police department, will go to the Board of Public Safety. The Board of Public Safety will be making the ruling, yay or nay, on the suggested policy from the police department. I further understand that to be the end of it, that it does not come back to the city council for a final approval. And I think that is very wrong. If we're going to have the initial input into the structure of this particular policy, then we should also have the final approval of whatever that final determination is from the Board of Public Safety. Because otherwise, this council has lost total control. What we would have done is we would have proposed, with all good intention, again, from Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Ricks, and perhaps others on the council, what we feel are responsible guidelines towards this policy. And then it's out of our hands. Goes to the police department. They make whatever changes or alterations or deletions, additions that they feel are necessary. Goes to the Board of Public Safety. Board of Public Safety does whatever they feel is necessary. And then it's done. We don't have another say. That's wrong. To order these cameras, to approve the order, the purchase of these cameras without final approval of a policy, by the way, that is not very difficult for any new administration, new city council, or new leadership in the police department to change or amend without a whole lot of difficulty. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because saying, yes, go ahead and buy the cameras before you know that it's approved, that's about as presumptuous as you could possibly get. And I am not going to be able to support that concept of this at all. I would strongly suggest that in addition to the very well-intended amendments that are here from, once again, Councilman Sinapi and Councilman Ricks, in addition to that, a further amendment be put in that the final suggested policy, as determined by the Board of Public Safety, returns to the City Council for a final approval. Other than that, to me, this is just a formality. But it's kind of going through the motions, send it on down the line, let it go up to the Board of Public Safety, and we're locked into whatever they decide. And more of a concern, all the residents of the city of Warwick are locked into whatever they decide. And that is not something that I'm going to be able to support. Thank you.
Council President McAllister.
Thank you. I think the councilman made a number of good points. I do want to rebut one thing is the purchase of the cameras comes back to the city council. So we do have some authority because if we don't like the policy, we don't agree with the policy, we vote not to purchase the cameras and the cameras never gets happened. So while at the way it's written right now, we don't have final on the policy itself that goes through the Board of Public Safety, we will get to see the final language that's in the policy. The reason why we held the purchases of them is to give us that option. So we get to read to see what the final language is. Eventually they will come back to the council asking to purchase these. They need purchasing authority from the city council. That's our check. So if you or the council has objections with the policy, we may not get the final say on the policy, but we get the final say on whether we're purchasing these cameras as well. So there is, we're not just passing the buck here. The final purchasing, they can't purchase things without the city council. So I do just want to put that out there. If you or any member of the council does not agree with the policy, that's a way that you can do that. You can say, I'm not going to vote to purchase. And if they don't have the votes to purchase, then the policy can say whatever it wants. They won't have the authority to purchase. So there is an additional check.
I understand that, Mr. President. Thank you for clearing that up better. But my point is to... My point is we should not even consider a vote on those cameras until the Board of Public Safety presents their final draft, and that draft comes back to the City Council. The City Council absolutely needs to see the final product so that we can share it with our constituents, get their feedback from other people that have replied to all of us, something as recently as today. And this council needs to have the final say. And I don't mean any disrespect to the Board of Public Safety. Please don't anyone misunderstand that. I don't mean any disrespect to that at all. But it's the nine of us that sit on this city council that represent the 83,000 people here in the city of Warwick. And this isn't voting on the approval of a stop sign or, you know, no parking. This is a huge issue, a very significant issue, in whatever perspective you may view it in. It's a very significant issue, and I feel strongly that the City Council needs to have the final say on it. Once that final say is determined, then the need to vote on cameras or not need to vote on cameras, you know, will be the last step. Thank you.
So just a note for everyone, please keep in mind that subsection C of the proposed ordinance is our way of making sure, regardless of department policy, if there are certain activities we do not wish to have taken place, we can ensure that they do not take place. And bear in mind, again, regardless of the policy, as an ordinance, this could be amended thereafter, and we can add to subsection C or make new subsections altogether and further list out any concerns that are raised subsequently, whether they be realized now or later. So this is not a end-all or be-all by any means. The reason why departmental policy rests with Board of Public Safety is because it's normally, we're not usurping their authority suddenly just because this issue happens to be unique or different. Times are changing. Almost every issue going forward is going to be unique or different. It doesn't mean we should ruin the autonomy of the Board of Public Safety. That being said, we still have a rather strong check on them via the proposals in this ordinance. Do any other members of the council have any questions or comments? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Chair. Good points and good discussion here all around. In looking at some of the other policies that have been rolled out across other municipalities that have already moved on these cameras, I think that there's a couple of buckets that are worth considering. When we talk about our sort of outside guardrails, a couple that come to mind are retention policies on the data. So 30 days seems to have worked in several of these other policies. So calling out a retention policy might be a worthy one to include in subsection C. I think another that comes up that I've seen in a number of these policies as well is a commitment to some sort of transparency portal where the public is able to understand, you know, what is the policy, view the policy, and view some stats on usage and the impact of the cameras. I think the last one, and, you know, again, to what some comments have been made here, you know, we don't want to get overly prescriptive in this ordinance because it's meant to be sort of that high-level guardrail and We don't want to cause any unintended consequences by, you know, the ordinance not being in line maybe with the language that the Board of Public Safety comes up with. But something around access and the purpose for access to initiate searches, you know, being associated with a formal case, and then having an audit trail and audit policy documented. I think those are all sort of important legs to the stool in making sure that this technology is used properly and effectively moving forward. So, you know, I'm kind of in between here in that I would be okay in reviewing what the Board of Public Safety comes up with as a policy. And again, not going into the level of detail in a, you know, a departmental policy in a city ordinance, but some of those key points that I suggested, I think might be worthy to rise to the level of being incorporated into the ordinance. And one question I would just put out there is that, let's say we pass the ordinance, and let's say Flock decides that they want to offer some sort of free pilot program or something like that that could initiate usage of the technology without a purchase. I just want to make sure I understand, you know, could that happen? Could that not happen? Maybe it's unlikely. But would there be a way to sort of skirt around what we're trying to do by not having costs associated or the cost being below the threshold? So those are some things that I would incorporate. I won't make a formal motion here now, but if we decide to amend some of the Section C and later language, then those are some suggestions of what I'd like to see in there. Thank you.
So as far as amendments, especially with Councilman Ricks and now Councilman Gebhardt pointing out a few, what we can do, assuming is the committee's will, is make all amendments during the full council meeting. That way, in between, we can get all the language squared away and actually properly look at it as a whole rather than kind of all jumbled up in bits and pieces. We want to make sure if we're going to review it and review it properly, we do so accurately and efficiently. Any other members of the council wish to speak? I think I see Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I think that Councilman Lattiser makes a very good point about this is something that the city council should retain control over. Yes, under this current version before us, the city council would have ultimate say and be able to, on its own initiative, revise the ordinance, and then the Board of Public Safety would then have to, of course, make its own amendments in response in order to comply with the city council's ordinance. However, I think that the initiative under the current version is a little bit backwards in that regard, because it should take a majority of the city council to put an ordinance or policy such as this into effect, as opposed to simply shifting that burden to the other side, such that it takes a majority of the city council in order to override effectively the Board of Public Safety. So I think this can be addressed through one simple sentence at the end of subsection B. That sentence would be, any policy or changes thereto must be ratified by the City Council in order to take effect. So this is a method that we have seen before. This would basically be very similar to the method that we have for the ratification of contracts. The administration, they take care of really all of that detail that the administration is better suited to do, but then it must come before the city council, and we must have a majority of the city council that is willing to ratify the language that's been hammered out through the administrative or executive process. So I think that that would strike a balance that would be consistent with how this city council generally operates.
Any other members of the council wish to speak?
Mr. Chair.
Councilman Lazar.
Thank you, Chairman. So through the chair, Councilman Ricks, do I understand your suggestion to be or to mean that once the Board of Public Safety has reviewed the proposed policy from the police department, they will make any changes, if any changes or deletions, additions, then forward that entire document to the city council for ratification? Is that what your intent is?
Correct. So that any policy that's made by the department or by the Board of Public Safety, I imagine the Board of Public Safety working with the department to draft that policy, Board of Public Safety would approve it, but then in order for it to take effect, the city council would have to review it and by majority vote ratify it. And if the city council does not have a majority vote to ratify it, then it simply would not take effect. And the same thing as to any changes to the policy that might go through the department and the Board of Public Safety. The city council, of course, at its own initiative, could always make any changes to its own code of ordinances, of course. But if the department and Board of Public Safety would want to make any changes to the policy, then similarly, they would need to go through that same process. And then the city council, again, would need to ratify any change by a majority vote.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to ask the committee to consider holding this till the next meeting so that a formal new version draft can be put together, disseminated to all of us, posted on the Secretary of State site, because we've had been a lot of conversation here on this item. Very good conversation, very good discussion, which is certainly what democracy is all about. And it's a lot to digest and absorb without, at least for me, seeing everything in a simple written formal version and have some time to digest it, perhaps even maybe add to it. So I would like to suggest that the committee consider holding this until the first meeting in September so that between now and then we can get a completed draft with all the amendments to vote on at that time. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the council who wish to speak? All right, seeing none, any members of the public who wish to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So the concern that I have with the proposed legislation is that the Board of Public Safety is not an elected body. They're an appointed body. And they're appointed by an administration. And administrations come and go. When administrations come and go, appointments come and go, and policies change. The Board of Public Safety has no obligation to me, the constituent, none whatsoever. But my councilman does. And the retribution is that if my councilman votes in favor of something that I'm against, I have a voice. And that voice is every 2 years at the ballot box. So when you have a a body that exercises policy and usurps the legislative branch of government, I think that's a default in your policy. And we've already seen, if you recall, on January 6th of 2019, we signed a contract that actually usurped city ordinances. And that's been in litigation.
Please stay on topic.
It is. I'm giving an example.
Let me rephrase. Please follow Open Meetings Act and the decorum as mandated by our council rules. Thank you.
I'm giving an example to substantiate my personal opinion. And I don't feel I agree with Mr. Ricks and I agree with Mr. Lattisaw that no policy should be put in order before it comes before the city council. I don't think we've ever done that before. I don't think that there's any reason to start doing it now, because in doing so, not only are you usurping the legislative branch of government, but you're taking away the opportunity for the members of the general public, the taxpayer, the constituent, to voice their opinions. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that wish to speak? Just please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Mark Genest, and I'm a resident of Warwick. And I am concerned, and I'm very gratified to hear several members of the council looking at this, the scope of this, and deciding that we need to take a second and third look at it. So thank you very much. It's really wonderful to hear. The reason I am more concerned about this than ever is because of the language of the general proposal. It is written in such a broad context that I could drive the Seventh Fleet through this. I would argue that if you're reconsidering writing the proposal, to do so from the opposite vantage point, to expressly describe what it can do and make it very, very short and very precise. As a result, what we're gonna see between the deliberations between the police and the safety board is that they are going to use the language in the current proposal to literally do whatever they want to. Now, I know there's going to be some kind of a balance, hopefully, between the city council and the police department and the safety board, but the language in its current form is written in a way that allows a broad interpretation of the uses of flock surveillance technology. And that's a very, very dangerous concept. I just have for example, definitions under A, the phrase compared digital images needs to be clarified and narrowed. The images should pertain specifically to digital images of the vehicle and nothing else. Definitions B, deployment of the ALPR systems for use in various efforts. That is, I mean, what does that mean, various efforts? It is so broad that anyone can define that to any way they wish. There are so many potential images. There's another one, definitions for F, potential images. That phrase is used is, again, incredibly vague. And then it's masked by the vagueness of potential images. So the language in the proposal allows an interpretation or the police to interpret this any way they want. I would suggest, and I have about 15 more examples of the language, I would suggest that writing the new proposal and doing so expressly enumerating specifically what it can do, and then to specifically state that it cannot do anything else. This is going to give boundaries to both the police and the safety board with regard to this very dangerous technology. And again, I've talked here in the past on the city council. I've experienced in autocratic countries using surveillance technology, and it is an incredibly intrusive attack on our civil liberties. And before we begin to literally accept the weakening of our civil liberties in the name of security, I would ask the council to review the crime rate in Warwick. From what I understand, the crime rate in Warwick has been going down significantly, and we're one of the safest cities in Rhode Island. So you have to ask yourself, are you willing to sacrifice important civil liberties? I mean, this is the town of Nathaniel Green. This is the state of Roger Williams. These are the people who created a government in Rhode Island that was considered radical by the day. And now what we're doing is, because most of us do not understand the importance and the power of this surveillance technology, that we're going almost without thought into saying, well, this is a great tool for the police department, and therefore we should use it. The problem is, I can give you perfect security, but I have to eliminate all your civil liberties. Are you willing to take a walk down that path to sacrifice the hard-earned civil liberties that the men and women in this country have served in the military, have fought and defended over 200 years? The time now is, if you are going to pass this ordinance, and I strongly oppose it, but if you are going to, narrowly scope what it can do and limit it to only those things. One of the points that was brought up by the committee at the council several times was that this was never going to be used for speed enforcement. Is that the case now? Because I haven't seen anything in the proposal. I'm asking, does anyone know? Is this going? Is there going to be something written in the proposal that is not going to be used to track speeding?
For those kind of questions, I'd turn to the colonel.
Subsection C, number 4, cannot be used for motor vehicle code enforcement. That would include speed enforcement.
Okay, is that in perpetuity or?
Correct, that would be part of the ordinance.
So yes, what is the purpose of the surveillance technology, sir? If the crime rate is relatively low in Warwick and not going higher, I don't know if that was you or me. What's the express purpose?
This system has a multitude of uses. It can be used to locate missing juveniles. It can be used to locate missing and suicidal individuals that were last seen in a motor vehicle. It could be used to locate stolen vehicles, wanted subjects. Not just for law enforcement. There's a mental health crisis. I know you pointed to the crime rate. The city of Warwick still does have crime. We have shootings, but we also have a mental health crisis. And oftentimes it can be reflected in the number of suicidal subjects that are out there that we are actively searching for, the people that are in mental health crisis, the people with dementia or Alzheimer's that were last seen by their loved ones in a vehicle. All of these uses.
Can I ask you a question then?
Take care of them.
So first, all questions will go through the chair.
Okay. Can I ask someone a question then? Suppose a woman from Georgia is coming to Rhode Island to get an abortion, and it's outlawed in Georgia, and the police are asked to share that information about a license plate of a woman's car who's coming for an abortion in Rhode Island. Are they then going to share that information?
Just first, as a general matter, I don't want to go down every single potential.
Well, that's a critical one.
Let me finish, please. Go down every single hypothetical for the purposes of tonight. I'm not saying it's an unfair question by any means. I just don't want to encourage every single possible scenario being raised. So that being said, Colonel, regarding his question?
Absolutely not.
But it says you're sharing information with law enforcement.
If they have a need, if they were looking for a wanted subject,
well, that would
and
be.
They put out an alert and it hit on us, it's our, at that point, if that person is in the state of Rhode Island and we have the hit, we would then confirm the hit and figure out why they're looking for them. And if they're a wanted subject, that's a different case. The Attorney General doesn't have to allow them to extradite.
It seems to me that this is the slippery slope that we're worried about. With the critical issues, controversial issues over things like abortion, where you're going to see women traveling from one place to another to get an abortion. And then in certain states, they are outlawing abortion and they're trying to trail those who leave the state to get one. And do we really want to get involved with helping other states track down young women who are seeking to get an abortion? I mean, do you want to as police chief?
Of course not.
Of course not. But this technology, the way it's written, says it will share that information with law enforcement if they are asked, correct? Have you started to think about that? You're not only going to then be attacking the civil liberties of Rhode Islanders and residents of Warwick, you're going to have repercussions nationally. So if you're going to create this kind of a program, you have to narrowly scope what it can do. And I would argue that you shouldn't be doing this, period, because it's too much of a threat to our long-term civil liberties. And I understand the police force wanting more mechanisms to reduce crime. I'm all for reducing crime. But you know what I'm not for? Eliminating my civil liberties. And you have to think of the long-term repercussions. And forgive me, sir, but there are a lot of examples like this that need to be discussed before you write this legislation. So again, I want to thank the council for beginning to look at this in a deeper and more sophisticated fashion. I think we do need more time. I strongly support Ed Latticer's move to push this off for a bit so that we can all look at this with a much, much more critical eye. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chief.
Any other members of the public have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'd move this to the full floor for discussion, amendments, and should the full council will it to hold it. So that is my motion. Motion made and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Nay.
Motion passes. And I believe that is all for ordinance. Should end us at 6:52 p.m.
Thank you very much. Just for explanation to everyone, the committee is recommended to move this item to the full council. So amendments can be made at the full council. Councilman Latticer or anybody else could make a motion to hold. That will happen at the full council meeting. I'm going to ask that we pause the council meeting. We have some guests that are coming up the stairs, and they're going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance at 7 o'clock. So we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, general communications. We do have one guest speaker, and then we will go back into committees. So if everyone, we will reconvene at 7 p.m. today for the full council meeting. Thank you. Read them into the record. So we're going to do that while we set up.
Thank you. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:54 p.m. First, I'll move acceptance of the minutes dated July 18, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Now, first on the agenda, before we move the committee into recess, we have the item number one, opening and announcement of bids received for bid 2023-080, sale of City Hall Annex Building and Property, Plat 347, Lot 251-256. No votes will be taken.
Good evening. I'm Pat Peschka. I am here tonight to open the bids on RFP 2023-080, sale of former City Hall Annex Building and Property, Plat 346, Lot 0251-0256. Did I say that wrong? 340, I'm sorry, Plat 347. Apologize for that. The bids on this were, this bid was properly advertised. What I'll be reading is the total pricing on this. After the bid's opening, submissions will go to the planning department. If the department has a recommendation into the purchasing department by Monday, August 22nd, they will go on the docket for the City Finance Committee, which would be held on Wednesday on September 7th at 5 p.m. in council chambers. That being said, we have apparently two submissions. And the first submission is from Link Commercial Properties, LLC. and the amount is for $367,000.
For the record, this bid from
on the prior page.
Thank you. For the record, verified that this bid from Link Commercial Properties LLC is in the amount of $367,000.
And our second and final bid. Is from Shoreline Properties, Inc. And the amount is $600,000.
For the record, verified that this bid from Shoreline Properties, Inc.